Top Army officials told the Senate Appropriations Committee that the reductions are part of an Army-wide efficiency initiative that aims to make sure contract support is only used where it's appropriate. The cuts have either happened or are planned at the Army's headquarters organizations, on its bases, and in deployed scenarios. In particular, General Ray Odierno, the Army Chief of Staff, says the Army wants to reverse the buildup of logistics support contractors that happened during the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, a buildup that was made necessary by the high demands for uniformed soldiers in combat zones.
We took much of the work out of the hands of our soldiers and put it in the hands of contractors in order to meet the increased demand. We are in the process of significantly reducing that. We have saved $2 billion already in contractor costs by training our soldiers and giving them back the expertise that is necessary to sustain our equipment. And I expect that will double in the next several years as we continue to transition these responsibilities back to our soldiers, who I want to be experts in sustaining our equipment. Some of that had to do with the purchase of new systems as we were still at war.
Likewise, Odierno says, the Army wants soldiers to be performing more functions on its bases. Again, because of deployment demands, many of those tasks were performed by contractors during Operations Enduring Freedom and Iraqi Freedom.
We have overly relied on contractors to do tasks at our installations that I believe can be done in many different ways. To include using soldiers, not because I think in some cases our soldiers, it's part of their training in order to be used in some areas. For example, guarding our installations. For us, they do that while they're deployed. It's an important task. It's a leadership task. And so we can reduce contractor costs by using our soldiers to do some of these tasks, which we think are military related. And so we are in the process of reviewing all of that. We still have to take a look at where we have some contractors that are doing some things that I believe should be done either by Department of the Army civilians or by uniformed military, and we are continuing to look at that. So we understand and are working very hard to continue to work those efficiencies.
The Army says the service contract reductions are in addition to an earlier DOD-wide insourcing initiative, during which the Army converted contractor positions to 10,000 full-time equivalent federal civilian positions, either because officials determined the work was inherently governmental or could be done more cost-effectively by Army civilians. Overall, John McHugh, the Army Secretary, says spending on service contracts has come down by 13% over the last several years.
As part of our restructure initiative, and the chief mentioned what we're doing at headquarters and up levels and taking 25% of the administrative staff, is trying to ensure that where we do use contractors, it's justifiable, both in terms of the mission, but in terms of dollars.
But as part of a broader cost-cutting drill designed to cut overhead spending across the Army, those reductions have not been limited to contractors, Odierno says. Thousands of mostly administrative positions have been eliminated across the Army.
We've eliminated 12,000 positions by reducing all two-star and above headquarters by 25%. We have reorganized our brigade combat teams, eliminating overhead and maximizing our combat capacity. And we continue to achieve individual and collective training efficiency as we move forward.
But Odierno and McHugh say the Army needs congressional approval to move ahead with several other of its cost-cutting plans, including a controversial proposal to restructure the service's inventory of helicopters, reallocating some of them between the active duty Army and National Guard and Reserve units. That step alone is expected to save $12 billion over 5 years, and together with pay and compensation changes, it's part of the $6 billion in reforms for 2016 that still need congressional approval.
We can undertake the proposed reforms, or we can accept increased risk. If these reforms and force structure reductions are not approved, this equates to a potential $12 billion shortfall in our budget, comprised of $6 billion in reforms and $6 billion in costs that are masked in OCO funding that must ultimately transfer into our base budget. If BCA caps come back, I want to emphasize again that it would render us unable to meet the defense strategy. Sequestration would compel us to reduce even further the Army end strength, forcing out another 70,000 over the next 5 years from the active component, 35,000 from the National Guard, and 10,000 from the Army Reserves. We would cut out 10 to 12 additional combat brigades. Modernization would come to a standstill. Training would go unfunded, and readiness rates, both unit and individual, would fall to very low levels.
Readiness, Odierno says, is already a significant area of concern for the Army, due in part to the earlier triggering of the BCA caps in 2013, which forced the Army to cancel numerous training rotations.
The unrelenting budget impasse has also compelled us to degrade readiness to historically low levels. Today, only 33% of our brigades are ready, when our sustained readiness rate should be closer to 70%. The compromises we have made to modernization and readiness, combined with reductions to our force size and capabilities, translates into strategic risk. We are unable to generate residual readiness to respond to unknown contingencies or to reinforce ongoing operations. We have fewer soldiers, the majority of whom are in units that are not ready, and they are manning aging equipment at a time when a demand for Army forces is much higher than anticipated. The President's fiscal year 16 budget submission recognizes these challenges, but even the President's budget represents the bare minimum needed for us to carry out our missions and execute and meet the requirements of our defense strategy.
The funding levels the Army has proposed would break the BCA caps in order to fund a force of 450,000 soldiers instead of the 420,000 troops that sequestration would require. But Odierno says he's concerned that even the size the Army's pushing for, 980,000 soldiers, including the Guard and Reserve, would be too small if its assumptions about the amount of time it would spend in a conflict turn out to be wrong.
So the assumptions that we've made are that our wars will be short duration and we will not conduct phase four operations, which is a follow-up to any wartime. And I believe the risk is there, is that if the assumption is about 6 months to a year, and frankly, if we get into a conflict, they last longer than that. And so that will put a significant strain on our military, a significant strain on our reserve and National Guard forces, because they provide the depth in order for us to sustain this over the long period of time. And I believe that we will be challenged to meet that at a 980 KN strength.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.